born and live in the shadow of the Almighty.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thousands of fall at your right hand, 10,000 at your is your left hand, or vice versa. Anyway, you will see it, but it will come nigh you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We are not worried about terrorists and what they can do. Praise God. The Almighty overshadows us.
Hallelujah.
Well, you want me to hurry up and get over there? I don't want to break down verse by verse. I mean, we'll get through this.
So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory.
Hallelujah. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord. But you see, this is all waiting upon a certain time element.
Amen.
And that time element is when you move into the set time that he's favoring Zion. Oh, Brother McCurry, that was in David's time. Oh, you think so? How about reading verse 18?
This shall be written for the generation to come.
They ain't even there when he wrote this.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Do you hear what I said? That generation wasn't even there when he wrote this. This is written for the generation to come.
Hallelujah.
Aren't you glad that we are that generation?
Yes.
Aren't you glad that we are that generation?
Amen.
Woo! Oh, glory to God. We are that generation. What is it, the 43rd generation? 42nd generation. And you can't find but 41. You read. You see? 41 generations, and yet the Bible said the generation, the 42nd generation, shall finish out the product that Jesus started. Shall finish the ministry that Jesus began. Now, he's going to have a generation of sons of God. Well, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. How many of you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
There has to be a generation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. Find the book of Obadiah. And I want to read every one chapter in it. I ain't going to read all of it. It was in there last time I looked. Do you find it? Right after Amos? I thought Andy was after Amos. Oh, glory to God. Obadiah, here he is.
That's him.
I started to tell you to read the last verse, but I wasn't sure, so read the last verse.
And save yourself, come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. And the kingdom shall be the Lord's.
Well, it looks to me like a kingdom has to be in effect. And then there has to be a generation on Mount Zion. And there's an S on that Savior. Saviors shall come where? Upon Mount Zion and judge who?
The Mount of Esau.
which is the flesh. Oh, glory to God. Why do you call Esau the flesh? Because Esau sold his birthright. Hebrews says there was no place for him to repent. It was a flesh thing. Oh, hallelujah. So do you see the importance of coming into Zion? You can't come into this ministry till you get to Zion. Well, glory. So you must come to Zion.
Unto thyself and unto thy doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hallelujah. Are we preaching the right thing?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Come on, are we preaching the right thing?
Yes.
Oh, glory. Hallelujah. And is the people hearing the right thing?
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Are they twisting what they're hearing? Well, it simply says this shall be written for the generation to come.
Yes.
And the people which shall be... What was that of that word next?
Created.
They ain't even created yet. A generation to come... That's not even created yet. Woo, hallelujah. Well, if they're not created yet, we are that generation. We are that generation.
Yes, we are.
Oh, glory to God. I could sit here and teach you and show you every move that we've had in God since 1947. I've been part of them. I've lived through them. And God spared me. But you see, in the 35th chapter, he lists his every move of God. And then when he gets through listing all the moves of God, he said there's a highway.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's not talking about a thoroughfare. He's talking about a higher way that's ever been before. Hallelujah. In the history of the world. And the set time has come for us to get on the highway. No unclean thing can walk on it. No vulture's eye has saw it. Somebody said, why ain't the buzzard saw it? Never been nothing dead on it. My Father, I tell you, I feel like I got to shout something. This highway, higher than anything that's ever been. Neighbor, it's higher than the church. God, and don't misunderstand me. I believe God's going to get glory in the church world without end. But not a traditional church. Traditional church will never do it. It never will set the stage.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. If God is going to do a new thing, you've got nothing to pattern what he's doing with.
Amen.
I told you the other day, and I'll tell you again, what if I was to went to my grandpa, Sid McCurry, my daddy's daddy, and said, Paul, why don't you explain the Celica phone to me? He would say, what?
Amen.
Uh-huh.
There's no such a thing.
No.
Well, then how can the traditional church explain what God's doing when there ain't nothing to pattern it by?
That's right.
I've had leaders, especially in India, I'm thinking about it. I was preaching in a Greek convention, 25,000 people there that night, and the Holy Spirit just blamed that whole congregation. And you know, in India, they're segregated, women on one side, men on the other side. And Spirit of God just fell on them, and 8,000 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in that one service. And the leader was pulling my coattail and said, "Stop this, stop this." I said, "What do you mean, man?" He said, "They're not getting it right. They're not getting it 1, 2, 3. I said, "No. God's giving it to them 3, 2, 1. Can you imagine somebody telling God you're not doing it right? Come on. And yet we're so set in our way, we think we've got to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, they get that later on. They want to go flying away to heaven, but Jesus prayed that you wouldn't take them out of the world, but just keep them from evil.
Hallelujah.
I want to stick around here to see what God's going to do.
Yes, sir. Amen.
How many of you want to stay around here and see what God wants to do?
Yes, sir.
Oh, hallelujah. What about it, Andrew? We've got to see what God wants to do with us. Isn't that right, Brother Terry?
Amen.
God help us.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God.
Amen. Holy
God. My Father.
Hallelujah.
I ain't even started here in time about. I just might run a little longer. This is so good, I ain't even got to the requirements yet.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen to verse 19. Well, the people which shall be created shall what?
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Don't you show he said praise, not grumble? Are you sure it's that way instead of grumbling? All right, Bob, verse 19.
For he hath looked down from the height of his...
Oh, God is looking down from the height. Read on.
From the height of his sanctuary, from heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that
have been groaning.
Amen.
Have you realized that enemy has tricked you and imprisoned you in a traditional bondage?
Yes.
And that all you can do is to operate in a traditional atmosphere?
Yep.
God help us. God's looked down.
Yes.
I'm glad he heard my groaning.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
Read on.
To loose those that are appointed to death.
I glory to God. Hallelujah. He's appointed that the men wants to die.
That's right. Resurrection life.
Glory to God. Hey, what did the traditional church say? Well, we all got to die. What did Paul say? We shall not all sleep.
That's right.
Amen.
You get your talking right.
Amen.
I talked to a bunch of church folks not too long ago. They said, well, we all got to die. Talk for yourself. Paul said we will not all sleep. That we all going to be changed. He's changing me.
Yes.
He's changing me.
Yes.
Oh, God, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. All right.
To declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem.
I don't want to make partiality here. Praisers are still in Jerusalem, but them that's in Mount Zion are making known the name of the Lord.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Now turn over to the 84th Psalm. This is one of Bob's favorite.
Yes, Lord.
Psalms 84.
Yes.
It's so good. Oh, glory, 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 glory. I think I'll just skip down here to verse 5.
Blessed is the
man. No. Just say blessed.
Amen.
I want you to draw a ring around that. I'm blessed.
Yes, I'm blessed.
Yes, I'm blessed.
Glory to God. I said I'm blessed.
Yes.
You blessed, Andrew?
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Amen.
I'm blessed.
Amen.
Are you blessed, Brandon?
I'm blessed, Lord. Amen.
Tim, are you blessed?
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Good Lord. Roy, what about it? You blessed?
Yes, sir.
Lord,
bless me.
Hallelujah. Glory. My God, I can't hardly get away from that one word. Blessed.
Think about that.
Yeah, that one word. Blessed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, he tells you what you have to do to be there.
Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee.
Oh, my Father. Now, I want to show you how King James messes up the word. I guess it'd be all right. You won't get too mad at me, would you? Blessed is the man whose strength is in me. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Some Christians look like they've been eating crab apples and sucking lemons. Yeah, you got no joy.
That's right.
And that's the reason they're always grumbling, finding fault.
That's right.
Preacher ain't doing nothing right. He a lazy preacher. I tell you right now, all the folks that is in this assembly know I don't visit. I ain't coming to the hospital and holding your hand. You got a toe ache or something. You call me, I'll come. But I send the elders.
Amen.
And they go there in my name.
Amen.
Well, glory. Now, it takes a little time for them to get used to that kind of operation.
Amen.
Because some of them said, well, Brother McClure, he's got to come. No, you ain't worshiping man. Bless God, I'm the set man in charge. I send the elders.
Amen.
You got to learn that when an elder comes, I'm there.
Yeah.
You got to learn when an elder's preaching here, I'm preaching.
Amen.
Church ain't going to fly all to pieces if I'm not here.
Amen.
If it does, let it go.
That's right.
Ain't no church, no way.
That's right.
It's the Lord's church.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And he set enough of people in the church to take care of it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to his name.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Blessed is the man.
Amen.
That goes through. Hello?
Amen.
Are you reading with me?
When passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well.
You got to go through something. Valley of Baca, valley of weeping. Don't camp there. You make it a well.
Yeah.
Isaiah 12 says that we draw water out of wells of salvation. Hallelujah. But see, what you don't understand is we've made this valley into a well, and we just kept on and made it a pool, and now rivers are running out of it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now you can sit down in your valley of weeping and weep because everybody's doing things against you, and you're the only one has ever had any trouble. And the Apostle Paul said, there ain't nothing happened to you, only that that's common among men.
That's right.
Jesus said, if they hate you, remember they hated me first.
That's right.
Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen?
I'm talking about them people that's in Zion now. All right, read on, Bob.
They go from strength to strength.
Oh, do you hear what he said? They go from strength to strength. And then he tells you who's going to do that.
Every one of them in Zion.
Everyone that's in Zion.
Period.
The reason you don't go from strength to strength, the reason you ain't getting stronger and stronger, you haven't got to Zion yet. And in Romans 1 and 1, or in the first chapter of Romans, he said, pardon me, said that you would go from faith to faith.
That's
right. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you go from glory to glory. Man, we're on a road here.
Hallelujah.
Strength to strength because we're in Zion. Faith to faith, and then from glory to glory.
Yes.
One glory or another. It's getting better every day.
Amen.
Well, praise God.
Hallelujah.
And it's very important that we get to Zion so that we can go from glory to glory.
Yes.
Strength to strength. Oh, my Father.
Hallelujah.
And unless we come to Zion. And when somebody asked me one day, how do you get to Zion? You move to Zion through the realms of the Spirit. And when you are open in your heart to the Spirit, you will not stand still. You will move from one place to another in the Spirit of the Lord. And the first thing you realize is that folks that used to like to fellowship you and go out to dinner with you don't undo you anymore. And you can even say, let me go buy your dinner. Well, I don't. No, they don't want to be seen with you. Because you are labeled in the church as an oddball. And if you don't believe what I'm saying, Oh, hallelujah. And if your pastor is just a traditional pastor, go talking to him about these spiritual things.
All right.
And the first thing you find out is, now, if I was you, I'd let that alone. Thank you. If I was you, I wouldn't go that route. Ah, glory to God. The reason of it is, the first place, they don't understand it. You got a revelation beyond what they got, and they're going to watch you. And they're going to see that you don't go so far. Well, glory.
Hallelujah.
You see, people don't understand the workings of the Spirit. We don't, God forbid, that we'd raise up a bunch of yes men. Amen. I don't expect these elders to agree with me if they feel against what I'm saying, but I do feel that they should give me scriptural reason to why, you know. Because I'll give you scriptural reason why I feel this way. And if you don't want to go along with it, you give me scripture reasons to rebel it.
Come on.
Come on, saints. How many of you know that's the only way to have divine order?
Amen.
Amen. Now, why? Somebody said, well, why would they be different? Because everybody has a different personality.
Amen.
And everybody has different likes. Well, glory. Now, you don't mind what I would personize somebody and show you the difference in them. Me, if I want something, I get it. Money or no money. I live that way. I tell you, man, it's so tempting now. Cars, you can buy a new car without any down payment. Use their money. Bless God, ride in style.
Amen.
Now, Greg there, he ain't going to do that. Now, that his style of living is not my style. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, they understand what I'm talking about.
Amen.
But I don't condemn Greg. That's his style of living. And he needn't condemn me because that's my style of living.
Right.
I'm not old glory. Somebody offered it on me $1 million, I'd borrow it today. Put it in the kingdom.
No interest?
I'm not afraid. You see, it takes a big individual to admit that he'll change. Because how many of you know there's very few people that's willing to change anything? Well, Grandma done it this way. You know the old story. The young man married a woman, a wife, and she bought a roast, and it wouldn't fit in the bed, and he said it's because she didn't cut the corners off. Now, Grandma always cut the corners off and put it in the pan. Well, why did she do that? I don't know. That's what she done all the time. Well, we'll call Grandma up and ask her, so they call Grandma. And she said, "Honey child, my pan was too little." So what I'm telling you is to get a bigger pan.
Come on.
And don't cut the corners off because Grandma did. Come on. Raise your hand and shout, "God is visiting Zion." And when we come to Zion, we're going to have a ministry. Woo, hallelujah. That is going to upset the world. We'll be traveling by thought pattern, going through walls, appearing to people. Oh, glory to God. Giving them a word from God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, I've already experienced some of these things. Sister Essie Smith was dying with cancer, eat up. Her body was just eat up with cancer. And the doctors had just give her a few months to live. And I was coming in from Cedartown down Interstate 85, and this was before they had finished. It had just finished in spots. And I come to Highway 17 that goes into Tocoa, and I felt a suction, just like sucking me out of the car. And I was driving about 80 mile an hour, you know. Oh, said, "That's above the speed limit." Well, it's all right as long as you don't get caught. Andrew drives above it all the time. Well, glory. Well, I went on home. And the next morning, telephone was ringing, and it was Sister Arbutus Westmoreland, Sister Smith's daughter. She said, "Reverend Carl, you got to come down here. Mama's losing her mind." I said, "What's wrong with Mama?" "Oh," she said, "about 2 o'clock this morning, you come in her room." I got looking at them. That's when I felt that suction. Oh, glory. And here's the whole story. She turned the light on, and Riley was there. That's her husband's name, little Riley. That little fella. And he traveled with me all over the country but when I was pastor there. But Riley said, "Where are you going, Essie?" She said, "I'm going to the kitchen to let GC in." She opened the door, and I walked in. And what I said was, "Ye shall not die but live, for the Lord has healed thee of thy cancer."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. She didn't die in those 3 months. She lived to be 100 years old. I was at her 100th birthday party. And I said, "Sister Essie, you want to be 101? She said, "No, I'm ready to go." And she said, "Yes, God would let her live another year." But she said, "No, I'm ready to go." We was in a meeting here. I don't know what meeting was, but Bob and I, and did you go, Greg? We went up there and had her funeral. Holy to God. I'm telling you, saints, get ready.
Hallelujah.
You're going to be translated.
Hallelujah.
You're going to appear. somebody may be praying and agonizing with God. They're in great need, and you appear to them. I'm well in the scripture on this. Oh, hallelujah. A man from Macedonia appeared to Paul. Well, glory. My Father, you've got to understand. But how many of you realize you've got to get out of the old traditional thinking? You've got to have your mind renewed to comprehend what I'm saying now. Praise be unto God.
Hallelujah.
You will not see healing lines like you see in them now. There ain't be no need for it. An individual can come into that door. Be healed. Individuals sitting in the congregation, throw their hand up and be saved and filled with. Now that's going to take the glitter and the glory out of these here preachers that's looking for glory. But do it, Lord, the sooner the better. Do it, Lord, the sooner the better. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. The aura around your individual being is going to increase and increase and increase. You see, I can tell you incident after incident of what God's doing. But here's what I want to tell you now. All I've seen and all that I've experienced, God said to me, it's only me pulling the curtain back that you can see and have a glimpse of what I'm about to do. Ooh, my God, hallelujah. God creating eyeballs. Arms growing out. Oh, praise God. I don't know about you. Bless your heart. Lord told me one time to go on and just watch the people. And I was sitting there watching the people. And all at once God showed me a man's whole life, just flashed it before me. He'd had a car wreck 15 years ago, and his back was injured, and he wasn't able to work. And I just walked up to him, put my arm around him. I said, "Sir, don't mean no harm. You don't know me, and I don't know you. But I said, 15 years ago, you was in an automobile accident, and your back got messed up, and you hadn't been able to work. But I said, I want you to know you've been healed right now. Go take the brace off." Hallelujah. He looked at me, "Who are you?" I said, "Never mind who I am. I'm just a servant of God." I didn't want no glory. Because it wasn't me. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. I sat in there one more time, and there's a man and a woman coming out of the eye doctor, and that man was just fussing at this woman because her glasses was costing so much. And the Lord said, "Go help her out." I went over there and I said, "Here, take this $200, tell him to keep his money, get you glasses." "Who are you?" "Never mind." And I vanished in the crowd. neighbor.
That's it.
That's the ministry of sons of God on this earth. Now, one other. There was a lady leading a blind man in these remote doors, you know. And she just went on in, and the door was about to knock that blind man down. And I caught the door. He turned around and said, "Thank you." He couldn't see me. And God said, "That's the way I'm going to operate the ministry from Mount Zion. He's going to direct you, and you ain't going to stick around for the glory." You know, oh, hallelujah. You ain't going to have to stick around and wait till the reporter come and stick a mic in their face. "Now, did I know you?" What's that got to do with the healing? What's that got? They're just looking for the glory. God be the glory. Well, let me tell you one other. I don't like to get started on this. I was coming down Highway 40 from Fort Worth. I was driving a new Cadillac, and I was making time. And God, like Andrew drive, and God said, "Exit." And I just whirled in there and exit. I got up to the other way. He said, "Turn left." I turned left. He said, "Go to the shopping center here." And he said, "I want you to go in that novelty shop." I said, "Novelty shop? My God, I don't go to novelty shops. I always thought they're sissy." Come on, how many of you men know what I'm talking about? Of course, now you're mad, you go in them, you know. You make acquainted, but you go. I went into that shop, and this woman was weeping. She was crying. The Lord said, "Minister." I didn't have nothing to say to the woman. All of a sudden, the Lord began to speak to me and said, "Your brother's not dead. Call the hospital and he'll answer the phone." She ran back into the back, called the number, and I heard her scream. You could have heard her from out in the parking lot. She come running out there and said, "Thank God for the prophets. For as the prophet has said, so is it. Brother's alive." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Neighbor, this is only a glimpse of the ministry we're coming into. You're going to be able to read an individual's life from A to Z to confirm, amen, their life, and give and impart ministries to them. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, believe this. It's in the book of Corinthians. "I long to see you," Paul said. "I'm longing to see you." Why? "That I may impart some spiritual gift." Ministry today don't want to impart nothing. They're afraid they'll lose something.
Yeah. Come on.
But I'm telling you the truth. I don't see how you sitting down. I feel like jumping up and shouting, "Hallelujah, for the set time has come for God to begin to move again as he has never moved before. On a chosen generation, One that has favor. One that has favor. Woo! Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Do it, Lord. Grant it, Father. Grant it, Lord. I want every one of you that stand this ministry. I'm going to start practicing it. Well, glory to God. Hunt somebody to bless. Somebody to bless. Help somebody to bless.
Post holes, and I'm not used to that. And I've been doing some work, and when you get my age, everything you do just makes you sore. No, you probably don't know about that. And so I thought it was just soreness, and I felt this thing in my chest, and it got worse. And I'm one of those old school, I'll tough it out. I walked through so many things. I probably had all kinds of things that I just would not accept and walk through. I never knew what it was, but I just wouldn't. But in this case, it got worse and worse, and it went from this side all the way around my back. Welts appeared on me, itching like crazy, hurting like crazy. And I was thinking, well, you know, Lord, I need this like a hole in the head. But I felt to go to the doctor, and I did. And he examined me for all of 5 seconds. And he said, it's shingles. Shingles? I'm not supposed to get shingles. I knew it had something to do with chicken pox. So he wrote me out a prescription, and so I was thinking, God, why are you allowing this in me? Why, Lord, why? And so I went out on the web, I've got a computer, went out and did some research. Went out and looked at shingles on WebMD. So it gave me the whole story about it. And it's a powerful spiritual lesson. In that when you have chicken pox, and most of us did as kids, I had it when I was 7 years old. I'm now 61. And what happens in chicken pox is that your body really does not eradicate it. It suppresses it. It suppresses it. Your immune system builds up an immunity, but that virus is sitting there, and it's in your nerve endings. And it's waiting until your immune system gets overpowered. And then it will raise its ugly head. It's a virus. And the Lord spoke to me. That's my people. Through religion, through willpower, through the false teachings of men, we have suppressed things that God wants to remove. We have pressed them down and we have shoved them under. And some things, we don't even know they're there. My spiritual father, John Robert Stevens, called them hidden seeds of defeat. And God don't want us defeated as we move into this next move and realm of God. So what the Lord spoke prophetically to me is I'm about to move to eradicate all the viruses out of my people, everything that's been hidden and suppressed. Malachi is going to come to pass. He's going to sit as a refiner of gold and silver and refine the sons of Levi, which we are, and make us pure and holy vessels unto the Lord. For they that carry the word of the Lord in this day must be pure. Must be pure. God shall have a pure word out of a pure vessel, and great shall be the work of the Holy Spirit in the earth in this hour. Amen. For God Almighty shall speak through His servants, and the Holy Ghost shall give instantaneous witness of what He's saying. So I urge you and receive this word and believe with me that God's going to reach into all of us and remove every hidden seed of defeat, every button, everything. We're coming to the hour when we can say with our Lord, Satan cometh, and he has no part in me. He can't push my buttons. He can't pull my chains. He can't defeat me or distort me when I move out in God anymore. Amen?
Amen.
So I bless you. I share that. I trust it's a blessing, and you'll reach with faith to me. I want to be pure. How about you?
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
That is exactly what God is doing.
Yes.
He, you know, we Pentecostals and holiness, we cleaned up the outside, and the inside was full of dead men bones. And they were hidden, deceitful enemies that you wouldn't dare express. And even some now will not express any seed of defeat. But you might as well come open.
Yes.
Yes.
You might as well come open, because it's got to be dealt with.
Yes.
It has to be dealt with. And there's no need to try to hide it. God knows all about you.
Amen.
There's so many people. How many of you are leaving today? How many of you checked out to the motel?
That's bad. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Leonard, y'all leaving the brother Eric was talking about was right on. Yesterday we started dealing with there's much rubbish that the walls cannot be built. Walls of salvation. And we're talking about end time salvation that's not even been revealed yet. Well, so don't tell me you've already arrived when it hasn't even been revealed. And the reason I say that, God said, I'm going to do a new thing. I know Ecclesiastes says there's no new thing under the earth. What is has been. Okay. But you must understand, before he said that, he made this statement, I returned under the sun. So he's telling you where he's living. He's living in a lower dimension rather than in the heavenly dimension. He returned under the sun. Oh, praise God. Very few people will catch that idea, but I'm here to tell you there's a few people that God has predestined or planned your destiny, chose you before the foundation of the world. The devil had tried to kill you, but you're still alive.
Hallelujah.
And you're kept, glory, for this end time salvation. God has a chosen people that he's going to, has already chosen to do a chosen work in the end times. And somebody said, well, I understand. We don't have the finance. Don't worry about that.
Amen.
God's fixing to turn that over to the chosen one. I know somebody said, well, I can't comprehend that. I know it. But you have to learn to be able to handle your finance correct before God will do it anyway.
Amen.
Well, how do you mean? Well, for example, and I get tickled at this every time you'll see one every now and then. Fill out a tithing envelope. And they'll say $21.54. They'll never make it in the choice ones. Praise God. Why? They don't know how to handle their finances. Glory to God. If you're going to give $21, you put $25 down. Amen. Now, I'll show you something. It's a little bit hard on the flesh to start doing this. Well, before my wife died, we was having to put out $500 a week. Now, that kindly mounts up. Well, I filled up a credit card, and the card that I was using, you know, they didn't accept American Express with no limit on it. And so I would borrow money from American Express and pay Visa off and fill it up again. And oh, God paid all the bills. Don't miss, I can't explain all of it, but then God spoke to me and he said, well, now you can give $500 a week to medicine. Why can't you give me at least $200 or $300 a week in the tithe? But I don't make that kind of money. He said, I didn't ask you that. But he said, if you want to make that, go to paying that.
True. Amen.
See, people don't understand. You're supposed to pay tithes on what you want to make, not on what you make.
Come on. Come on.
How many of you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
You pay tithes on what you work to make rather than what you are making.
Yeah.
And how many of you know God is not going to be indebted to you long?
Right. Okay, now.
The first thing you know, you have developed the habit of giving more to God. And it just comes natural.
Amen.
We give more money away than a lot of people make.
Come on.
And I just shout about it.
Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
So every one of these offerings that we've taken up, I've put 100 in first go round. Then if we come back, I'll put another one in. Hallelujah. Somebody said, you run out of that. How can you when God keeps his fist is bigger than mine?
Amen.
And you're always fistful every now and then. Not unless you understand how to handle your money, though, you won't never get anywhere.
Well,
that's right. Woo! Hallelujah. Turn with me if you have your Bible. We want to show you that you have to come beyond Jerusalem to get rid of the rubbish.
Amen.
And when I use the term Jerusalem, I'm using the type of the church. Jerusalem is the church. Jerusalem was not the city of David. David started out there, but his main purpose was to get rid of the Jebusites, which were the most vile and vicious people in the world. And they possess Zion. And so David set out to capture Zion. Hallelujah. And they told David, said, you can't do it. And we will put out the blind and the sick and the halt and the maimed, and they laid them out all around Zion. And to be able to get to Zion, you had to go over those afflictions. That sounds cruel, doesn't it? So David made a decree, and he said, everyone that goes in and captures Zion, I'm going to make a captain in my army. Captain and elders are a synonymous term. People don't understand how important it is to be an elder in an assembly. When you are an elder, you are a bishop. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
When you are an elder, you are a captain. There are so many definitions to these places in God that we belittle and don't live up to the high standard and expectation of God in this hour. Now David in his army took Zion, captured Zion, drove all the Jebusites out. Hallelujah. And then when he got Zion, the first thing he did was to bring the Ark of the Covenant back. And I don't know whether you would like this part of it or not. From Obed-Edom's house, the priests got the Ark of the Covenant, and they started toward Zion. They'd take 10 steps, set it down, shout and offer up an offering. How many of you want to get to Zion now? You have to make 10 steps, stop, offer up offering. One fellow asked me last night, said, where in the world is all this money coming from? I said, this is the Feast of Tabernacle. And in the Feast of Tabernacle, Israel gave more to God than they did any other time of the year. And then God tells you on the beginning of it, don't come to the feast empty. You bring something. You're not even supposed to approach the prophet of God without an offering. Oh, somebody said, I don't believe, I don't preach that. Well, you're missing the blessing. It's what God said. Well, hallelujah. And I'm not saying that just for gain, because I have taught the people of this assembly, they take care of me abundantly. I have no need that they will not supply. I have 5 elders that's local here, and then I have elders abroad, Jack and Joe and Greg. I could, if I want need, I could call them on the phone. On the spot. But you see, I don't do that.
Right. Amen.
The local assembly take care of me. And these 5 elders hold up my hands.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
And it doesn't matter whether I'm here or whether I'm not here. They know that we're the set man in the house. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they know that they are in charge.
Glory to God.
Well,
hallelujah.
Now, you'll never get to Zion or get to where God can deal with these hidden deceits and hidden enemies until you come to Zion first. All right, 102nd Psalm, if you want to do some reading with me. David was a man after God's own heart, and certainly, hallelujah. Now in verse 13, and when I say verse 13, do you know what the number 13 means?
Rebellion.
So, there's going to have to be a people that rebel against the church. I'm not talking about a kingdom church. I'm talking about traditional church. A rules of do's and don'ts. And tries to bring you under bondage. And so he starts it off with verse 13, which means rebellion. America rebelled against England and started off the colonies with 13 colonies, 13 stars in their flag. Your American dollar bill has got 13 13s on every $1 bill. To let you know that America stands in rebellion against slavery. Well, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, verse 13 says, want to read with me, Bob? You got a mic there?
Yes. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time of to favor her, yea, the set time is come.
Now, how many of you realize that we started this off in the 7th chapter of John? And the Bible said that in the midst of the feast, in the middle of the feast, he came into the temple and taught. There is an arising up of God today in the temple. You are the temple, I'm the temple.
Amen.
And he's changing ministry. Oh, glory to God. He's changing it from a sermon to teaching.
Hallelujah.
And it's not going to be any sermonettes no more. It's going to be teaching the Word of God. It's not going to be just some preacher hollering and getting loud, and folks think loudness is the anointing. It's the anointed Word of God, and it's going to be in a teaching form. And if the church ever need teaching, it's today. So he is going to arise first. Everybody say, he's rising up in me.
He's rising up in me.
Say it again.
He's rising up in me.
And you're going to begin to feel, whoo, hallelujah,
glory,
a different ministry than you've ever felt before.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you're going to find it hard to get off of just one verse. It's going to be illuminated to you so that every word you're going to break down.
Yes, I believe.
Oh, hallelujah. You don't grasp what I'm saying. Every word in the Greek and every word in the Hebrew has from 6 to 10 different meanings. King James has the most common meaning of the word, and they have missed the middle voice. And that's what's caused the church to be and in such confusion in this hour. They don't know the middle voice. The middle voice are not a thing in the world, but oh, glory to God. Did I lose you? Amen. You must learn this. And listen, it takes time to get into the Word.
Amen.
Oh, when I first started ministering 57 years ago, oh, God, I'd weep and I'd cry. I didn't know doodly squat about the Bible, and I'd read it and I'd preach things that wasn't even right. But I'd heard it and I'd preach it. Then when God revealed the truth to me, I'd have to go back and re-preach it. I said, I preached it wrong. Yeah, it takes a pretty good, pretty big preacher to acknowledge you've done wrong. Glory. But God shall arise. Woo! What did Moses say? And David borrowed it from Moses and put his own name to it. Oh, glory. Let me pause right here a minute. Anything that I say and it's quickened to you, you forget I said it and say it's mine. I say, glory to God.
Right.
Don't even mention my name. Because
right.
If you do, it's going to turn somebody off. But tell them, I say this. Glory to God. I've got it. It's my truth. And it is your truth.
Amen.
It is your truth. So, When David said, let God arise and his enemies be scattered, that's exactly what he's doing. He's rising up and these enemies are being scattered. Moses said that first. And Brother Hitt quickened the old David. David said, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. And he didn't say Moses said it. I said it. And I hear somebody preaching, they're preaching good. I say, me too. Me too.
Amen.
I want to be part of it. Do you?
Yeah.
So, Lord, how many of you, when you hear an anointed word, you want to be part of it? You say, me too.
Amen. Me too. Hallelujah.
Well, God is arising at this hour.
Hallelujah.
He is arising.
Yes,
he is. Oh, hallelujah. Now, why is he arising at this hour? Listen to what he said.
Well, thy servants take pleasure in her stones.
Yeah, but I want this 13th verse.
All right.
Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. Now, that's the reason God is rising. He's having mercy upon the people in Zion because they have gone through hell and high water. You don't come into this You don't come into this transformation and everybody liking you. You become public enemy number one with the church folk. And usually it starts with the pastor. And they mark you as a trouble. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. And I like this next phase. For the time. For the time.
Hallelujah.
Everybody say, the time.
The time.
has come. Will you just raise your hand and say, the time has come.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
The time has come. To what? Favor? Woo! Glory to God. Favor. Which means God is paying more attention to you.
Oh, yes. Think about it now.
You read over these words and you don't think, you know.
Come on. Take time to think.
But listen to what he said. For the time has come.
Amen.
To favor. To show partiality.
Yes.
Boy, that's against tradition. God has no respect of person. But he has.
Yes,
he always has.
Yes.
I guess I'll give you a scripture to prove it. In the 17th chapter of Matthew, the Bible said Jesus take Peter, James, and John up into a high mountain. Well, Peter, James, and John, bless God, wasn't the only disciple Jesus had.
That's right.
But he favored them. But there's a reason why he favored them. These three individuals had their names changed. Name means nature. Oh, glory to God. And when you come into Zion, your nature is being changed, and God has favor. He has special privilege. He'll bless you specially. It's time to have mercy and show favor. I tell you, whenever you begin to break these words down, it makes me want to get up and shout, thank my God favors me. My God's looking after me. I'm one of his favorite children.
Hallelujah.
Are you seeing what I'm trying to show you?
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. You are one of the favorite ones.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Well, let's read some more. We get out of the 13th verse.
Yeah.
No.
For thy servants take pleasure in her stone.
Well, read just a minute. For the time to favor her, yea,
the set time
is come. God has been working on a time schedule. The Bible teaches that God works cycles. He don't do. Yes, he does. In Chronicles, he says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Now, if you'd get that, if you'd really get that down in your spirit, I'll show you something. Any minute, his eyes are going to flash over Arnoldville. And all you got to do is just to get it to glance at you, just.
Come on, think about that now.
That's all you have to do, just. Lord. Attention. And since he favors you.
Oh, God.
And because you are favored with him, the set time has come. So the time is already set when his eyes flashes over you. get his attention.
Hallelujah.
You have probably overlooked this, but I'll remind you of it. How many of you know when blind Bartimaeus was sitting beside of the road? He wasn't in the way, he was sitting by the way. And he was blind. And he heard a commotion. He couldn't see, he didn't know who it was. And he asked somebody. They said, "Oh, he's Jesus of Nazareth." Well, he began to cry out and holler. I'm talking about really make a noise. But he wasn't saying, "Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, thy son of David." Hallelujah. Here's a blind man that had a greater revelation than all of these people that were following Jesus, looking upon him. This blind man had a greater revelation. He wasn't saying, "Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, thy son of David." The crowd tried to shut him up. "Be quiet. Don't bother him. He ain't got time, fool you." And he cried that much more. The book said that. He hollered that much louder. And listen, here's a beautiful statement. You ought to underline it in your Bible. "And Jesus stood still." Amen. If you can ever stop him, you've got what you want. If you ever stop him, you've got what you want. "And Jesus stood still and said, 'Bring that man to me.'" And did you know that man wouldn't come to Jesus until he pulled his beggar's garb off? He is dressed in a professional beggar's garb, but he wouldn't come to Jesus until he pulled it off. I like that. Nobody can come to Jesus with a begging spirit. When you come to him, your begging days is over. It'd be good to look up these two Greek words over in the book of John, I think is where it says, and Jesus said, "Up to now you have asked for nothing," which simply meant you've been begging. That's what that word means, acts there. But then he goes on down and says, "Ask and you shall receive." Other words, going on down, he said, "Claim it, you got it." There's two different meanings to those two words of ask. One is bag, the other one is claim. You stop him, you got it. Well, how do you know when you get him stopped? Ooh, that spirit in you just begins to roll a praise.
Hallelujah.
A praise. Well, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Time, set time has come. Well, glory, if the set time has come, oh, glory, then he who can knock on the door because there's no privacy on it. I ain't got time to break all these scriptures down as we were going, but how many of you know he said, "Behold, I stand at the door."
Yeah.
And he didn't label it. He put no name on it. And that's what regulates whether you can come in or not.
Uh-huh.
There's no name on that door. Anybody's welcome.
Hallelujah.
I could put members only, and they would be the only ones that could use that door.
Hallelujah.
But aren't you glad that he didn't label the door? I learned something when I was in Africa. It just thrilled me beyond, because I'm inquisitive and I ask questions and I look at everything and I got to understand. Man, I don't know nothing to slip up on me. I get on people's nerves asking, and I believe in doing it up front quick. Well, glory. But I was in Africa, and the little Africans, and if it wasn't for bananas, I'd have starved to death. I lost 35 pounds. But about every 3 days, they'd put me a fresh stalk of bananas in my little hut.
Thank the Lord.
Thank God for bananas. But they'd come to the door, and they'd knock on the door, and they'd knock, and they'd say, "Hello, hello, hello." You couldn't hear them knock. And I said to the little, I said, "What do you holler so loud for when you're knocking at the door? I can't even hear you knock." He said, "That's what the Bible said." I said, "What?" He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice." I chalked that one up, brother. That's a great, well,
amen.
Isn't that what it said?
Amen.
"Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
That's it.
If any man hear my voice,"
yes.
Well, he said, "I'll open up and come in and sup with you, and you sup with me."
Yes.
Well, if an African come into your house, they expect you to set something before them. Then whenever you set your gift before them, then they'll set their cup before you. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Man, I ain't never cleaned his cup out yet. My hand's still in his cup.
Amen.
He got healing, forgiveness, restoration. Hallelujah. How many of you still got your hand in his cup? Ooh, hallelujah. Well, let's see if we can get another verse. Verse 14.
"For thy servants take pleasure in her stones, and the favor the dust thereof."
Well, thy servants take pleasure in her stones. Over in Revelation, John said, "He that overcometh will I give a white stone, and I put a new name in it," and so on. Now, you have to understand terminology and symbolic language of the 380 symbolic statements in Revelation alone. And this is one of the greatest ones. They were using Olympic terminology. If you overcome in the Olympics, instead of giving you a gold medal the way they do now, they'd give you a white stone. Oh, hallelujah. And everywhere you went, Any motel or hotel, wasn't motels back then, I don't think, but hotels, restaurants, all you had to do, show that white stone. These guys is preaching prosperity, they don't even know what they're talking about.
Amen.
True. Great God. They had it down pat here in the book. All you got to do is overcome, you'll quit worrying about your finance.
Amen.
All you got to do is be an overcomer, and you quit worrying about your car payments.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Oh, praise God. Well, the Bible said, oh, no man, nothing but love. Well, you don't. You have to have equity for everything you got. Keep your payments up, you don't owe nobody none. Okay.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And it just doesn't matter.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen. How many of you take pleasure in this white stone? How many of you use it? Come on. How many of you use this white stone? Woo! Now, another aspect of this white stone is in the 91st Psalm, under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. David, when he pitched the tent, tabernacle of David, he set the Ark of the Covenant at the end of it, and there was a white stone in the middle of that tent, and David would sit there on that white stone. And when the sun come up, on the hit the seraphims on the Ark of the Covenant, it made a